You may have heard Sacred Steel prodigy Roosevelt Collier with the Allman Brothers, Tedeschi Trucks, or Warren Haynes. But Sacred Steel music began in the church. I'm Jesse Finkelstein. On this edition of the Blues Radio International podcast, we sat down with Roosevelt. Join us to listen to some real Sacred Steel music.
Yeah, man, let's talk some Sacred Steel, man. It was founded in 1930, poor black people, back in that day. And so, like, it was cheaper for us to get, like, a few dollars or, like, you know, like a little piece of board with some strings that cost some dollars versus, like, a big old pipe organ, you know? You can kind of say it was more of what you can afford back then, you know? From then, the steel, it evolved. And so, like, now, like, you have this steel that's, like, massive, that's in the forefront of the whole church service versus, like, a keyboard or organ. Willie Eason, he's quoted as the founder of Sacred Steel. There's a lot of players, but, you know, he really made it. So, you know, I mean, it's been this evolving thing in church for decades that nobody knew about. If you didn't come to it, then, like, you just didn't know. You know what? Like, it wasn't until about, like, 1996, 97, till this folklore named Robert Stone, and he actually stumbled across this music. He had to find out what was this, where from, who's playing it, you know, like all of the fine details, like, of a folklore, you know? And because of him came the term Sacred Steel.
So over seven decades, this became an integral part of the church, just as an organ does in other churches.
Exactly. No, exactly. So in our church, you know, like, you won't find an organ, really. I mean, you probably find some in some places, but for us, man, it's the steel is out front, you know, like, it's a steel. Most places have steel, bass, rhythm guitar, and drums. That's a basic sound with us, you know. So at any point, like, in a church, that's you know what? Like, you'll find a band playing with the steel out front, bass, drums, and a rhythm guitar. You know, but you know what, man? The steel, you know, leads everything, drives everything, you know. It's another voice.
It is, and you bring up a point that I think is really important to me as I listen. Unlike the organ or other keyboard instruments, this really is as close to the human voice as you can get. It's like a violin.
There's no frets. So, I think it's like God sent as far as being as close to a voice, you know, if it's played right, you know, because of the like ability and freedom to slide everywhere, and you know, you could be pitchy, you can not be pitchy, you know, it's just a voice, you know.
How is learning steel? It's not like a fretted instrument where you can goof around and
it's easy, it's fun. It is easy. You know what?
You make it look easy, but
it is very easy. You know what, man? So, like, you know, I have this thing where, like, you know, I can teach anybody in about 5 minutes still, you know? And you know what? That's because, you know what? Like, everybody think, oh, my God, you know, man, it looks so hard. You know, it looks so, no, man, it's just too much. But no, you know what? That's in your mind. You know what, man? If you just kind of chill out, let me show you something. Like, you could be playing like 2 minutes tops. You know, it's not as hard as folks think. It's very fun. It is a very fun thing to play because I mean, like, you have a slide bar. You're just sliding up and down. Who don't want to just make noise, you know? But good noise, you know. But seriously, man. It's not hard at all, you know, and of course I'm saying that, but you know, so they'll be like, oh, well, that's not fair. Like, you can't say that, you know, like, it's not hard because you play it. But nah, man, it's a fun thing to play. It's not hard, man. It's not hard to play, man.
You play many varieties of music as well. You've gone far beyond where you started.
Yeah, man. I've been blessed to hit, man, a number of like genres playing. Through still, you know, and I've played in a number of like genres from like, you know, straight up folk to country, bluegrass, to the rock and roll, funk, blues, of course, punk rock.
You had a nice stint with the Allman Brothers.
I mean, jazz, you know. So, you know what, man, but you know what? The thing about it is that, you know, I'm able to take this still and bring it and cross over. That's my whole goal, you know, is to bring this sound and cross over to where it makes sense to people. And you know what, man, I've been doing it and it's a lot of fun.
How do you see the relationship between these different genres of music? I'm always interested. Some people are pure blues guys, pure country guys, whatever. You cross so many genres here. How does it all relate to one another? Do you see them all as part of one long continuum, or are they different?
No, I mean, you know, they're all different. You know, they're all different in their own way. You know, but there's a common ground to everything, you know. As long as you can find that common ground, like me, you know what, like everything got a downbeat. It doesn't matter what it is, you know, like you have to have a downbeat, you know. And you know what, man, that's my common ground.
Could you tell us something about your instrument and show us
some Sacred Steel stuff?
Yeah, one of the first things I fell in love with is your Uncle Glenn's Call Him By His Name.
But man, yeah, man. Wow, really? Wow, yeah, man. That's a beautiful tune, man.
It is.
Great guy, man. I mean, a great player, man. Just to watch him play every Wednesday night, every Sunday, every Friday, like, you know, like in church service where this is him playing, I'm sitting right next to him, like as a little kid, you know, just watching him play. And then when I got older, like 16, 17, I'm playing and he's standing over me while, you know, like a song is playing, saying, no, that's the wrong change. Play this right, wow. Right while it's all going.
So you had real-time guidance you're performing.
It was real-time guidance. Let me play guess like a standard hymn. Thank you. Yeah, man, just some standard sacred steel stuff, man.
Absolutely beautiful.
You know, like as and you know what, man, it'd be like that every Sunday night. Every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, you know. Just yeah.
I noticed you integrate a bass line into it as well.
Yeah, well,
playing alone, you're a full one man band.
Yeah, yeah. You know what, man, I had to learn that. I had to learn that early on, playing alone, just me and a drummer. Yeah, you know, man, to play church services with just me and a drummer, man, and like all the time, man, and it'd just be rocking. I mean, on full 10, just a big old bass drum. Sometimes, big old bass drum, man, and this and you know, like a wooden floor for like you know feet stomping and hand clapping. The sound amazing, you know, some of the best stuff ever. And people just praising God, yeah.
Really nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you play something else for us?
Yeah, man. Sure, man. Let's play like, you know, an Amazing Grace.
I don't care what religious tradition someone's from or if they're an atheist, that moves you.
Yeah, yeah, nah, it does. And you know what, man, that's the beauty about, you know, playing with music, you know. It's a language that's spoken in every language, you know. For me, man, it comes straight from a family, man. I mean, yeah, when I was kind of born into it, you know. Grandfather, his pastor, he played instruments. He played the steel very well. He was a monster steel player. His sons, as my uncles, they played music. Alvin Lee and the late Glenn Lee, and so my uncle Reverend Glenn Lee that passed, you know, which, you know, he's in a book quoted, you know, taught me firsthand, you know, gave gave me my first steel, man, six string. There's this story about me and my cousin, Lil Alvin. That's the bass player.
Alvin's not too little.
He is not too little. No, no. Well, they call him Alvin, but he's not too little. And, you know, so that's the bass player. He plays a seven string bass. So there's his story. I think I had to be about like 11, and he's older than me, so he had to be about 15, maybe. And we are outside of Wednesday night church service this one night, and both my uncle Glenn Lee and Alvin Lee, they come outside, they take us outside. We, you know, we're little, you know, young, you know, what's up, uncle? Hey, hey, hey. No, they stop us. They say, listen, y'all got to choose right now. Who's playing bass? Who's playing steel? And of course, I'm young. I'm like, and so my cousin, Lael, say, I'm playing bass. And Uncle Glenn say, okay, done. You're playing steel. And that was it. I was like, it's like, wait, I like to play drums, you know? it went like that. And I was like, okay. And, from that, man, it was a wrap, man. But with me, man, my family, man, my uncles, man, my aunties, my mom sing, my cousins, them, you know what, man, it's in the family, you know. I mean, we were raised in it, man. We was, if not in church playing, we're like at home playing, you know. If not at home playing, we're back in church playing. I mean, church was like Wednesday night, Thursday night choir rehearsal, Friday night youth night, Sunday twice a day, morning and night service, and God forbids if we had to travel for like a midday service, you know. So yeah, man, we were in it. And then, you know what, man, I had it all day every day at home, grandma house, go to grandma house, everybody's playing. They're not playing sports, man. They're playing music, you know. They over there, you know, got a big pot of rice, chicken going, you know. And, man, we over there playing music, you know, as little kids, singing, you know, just like, you know, kids, just, you know, we over there singing like a choir, you know. We're practicing, you know. You know, got pots, got, you know, some little amps, you know, man. We're young. We're like 6, 7, 8, 9, you know. And we're in it heavy. And so, yeah, and then, you know, like you have all us, then, you know, like all of our uncles and our moms, they're there too, you know, singing. Grandma, she's there. Big man, that's the grandfather. He's back in the room just listening, you know. That's just me.
What's the first thing you learned to play?
The first thing I've learned to play, I got to go back almost 20 years. The first thing I learned to play, okay, he's going to bring this out of me. All right. First time I got my steel, I got a six string. My grandfather called me like in the room, and it was him and my Uncle Glenn. They called me in the room, and they gave me a six string lap steel guitar. Such a surprise. I was so happy. And he's sitting here like on the bed. Uncle Glenn is here, is right here standing up, and they sit me down, and they was like, okay, man, I'm gonna show you the first thing I'm gonna show you, and like you have to learn it, and like you go learn it, and you know what, like you'll play it. And and I still play it till this day. So thank you. Wow, I still remember that. Yeah, man, I've been blessed to be able to travel. I mean, just from this here, you know, like everywhere, man, touching like a lot of folks' lives, you know. And you know what, man, that's my goal, man. It's you know what, man, it's never to be like famous or rich. You know what, man, I can care less about the fame or, you know, about the you know, about the wealth and stuff like that. That's not you know, like our goal, our purpose. You know, man, it's always been a, you know, man, you know what, man, if you can touch somebody's life by playing, you know, that's our purpose and goal. And I've been able to do that like on so many levels. And for me, that's better than money, that's better than anything, that's better than being like noted, like anything, because you know what, man, that's a person that's touched by me playing, you know. And man, I got a crazy story. This is when I was first starting out. Yeah, so we're in Canada playing, all right? We're in Canada, and I don't know if it's a big festival going on, and we done played the hard, so you know, big stage played, and you know, we're rocking, you know, good festival, we're rocking. So, you know, like after the show, I like everybody is, you know, sitting down, you know, like everybody's come up to you. Hey, hello, you know, thank you for playing. And so, you know, I'm off sitting down eating. And, you know, I'm off sitting down eating, you know, drinking my little juice. And I see, like, you know, like, you know, like out of the corner, like of my eye, this huge guy. He had to be every bit about 6'7", 6'8". I mean, I look like a big biker guy. I mean, just like massive. And you know what? Like he kept on staring at me. And I'm up like, oh, like, you know, there's some good food. So, you know, I'm going to keep on eating. And I mean, he had to be like very like, you know, just one of those typical, like big, you know, big guys, you know, where you like you hope that he's not coming to you, you know. 5 minutes later, he, you know what, man, he gets up and I see him like out the corner, like, you know, getting up. You know, I'm not panning on mine, but he's looking at me still. And he starts to walking towards me. I'm like 20, you know, I mean, you know, I'm young and I'm up like, well, there's nobody else around me. I'm like, where's all of my boys? You know, I'm up like, you know, I mean, there was nobody around me. I mean, I'm up like, where's my uncles? Where's my cousins? Because, like, this dude is very big, and I don't know what's on his mind. I have no idea, and I just want to eat my sandwich and leave, you know. I just, you know, I'm tired. I'm up like, and he comes, and he stands over me, and of course, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, but when I say he's as massive as, I mean, you know what, like he almost blocked the whole sun. Like, I mean, like easily about 6'8", 6'9", and had to be every bit about, you know, just one of those big 350, 400 guys. And I mean, hands are just amazing. You know, shirt, arms are just out, you know, big hands, you know. And he just come over me standing, you know, I'm up like, you know, like, hey, hi, like, hey, hi. And the nicest voice, he said, man, through your music, man, I was touched 3 times tonight. I just wanted to come and just shake your hand and totally crushed me. I was like, you know, I didn't know what to say. You know, I just told him, I said, you know what, thank you. And he said, man, I was touched like 3 times tonight. Through your plan, and you know, I mean, I just had, you know, I had to just come over here and say something to you, and he said, God bless you, and he left. I was like, this is the reason why I'm playing, you know, like this is the reason why I'm playing. So yeah, it was scary at first, but then it was like, that just happened to me, you know.
Well, for thousands of people who don't come up and say anything, I know that's true because I see them
Yeah.
Watching you and listening.
No, yeah, man. And man, this was like early on, like in my path of playing, you know? And so I was like, you know what? I was like, this is the reason why I'm playing. It's because of this right here, you know? Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I don't take nothing for the wrong calls, you know, man. This is why I'm here, you know?
Can I trouble you to play one last thing before you go?
No, man.
We love listening to you, and I know that our listeners are going to find this very healing.
Thank you.
Roosevelt Collier with an exclusive performance of Sacred Steel music in Blues Radio International Studio C. Sound by Jack Gauthier of Lake West Recording. I'm Jesse Finkelstein. This is the Blues Radio International podcast.